Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket, I'm sorry. On the docket for today's broadcast, guardianship in U.S., protection or exploitation? With an estimated 2 million adults under guardianship nationally, and the baby boomers are getting older, guardianship is growing here in the United States. We're very pleased to have on again Kristen Lynch, who is a partner in the law firm of Lovell Rosen, where she works with clients regarding probate matters, guardianship, and estate and retirement planning. Ms. Lynch is an accredited estate planner and designated by the National Association of Estate Planners and Counsels, but named among women leaders in the law, top-rated lawyers by Martindale Hubbell. I'd first like to welcome and introduce our legal panel host. Good afternoon, Gary Singer.
How you doing there, Phil?
Oh, it's always another day in paradise. And
it is
good
afternoon.
And good afternoon, Gary Astro.
Hey, Phil. Good to be here.
Good to see you. And of course, good afternoon, Gary Santucci.
Only one that's not a Gary.
You got the upgrade.
Thanks. It's Michael Santucci.
It's Michael.
And our
the
guest firm
has been upgraded.
Thank you. Our guest firm is LaBelle Rosen. Okay.
Oh, and I said Lovell.
Yes.
Someone's doing
right.
a shot.
It's LaBelle Rosen, and they're upstairs from us here in the building. And,
those dang letters.
Yep.
I'm
and
telling
every time,
you.
I'm told, at least by Phil, that every time he massacres someone's name, there's some law students at Nova that are doing a shot.
Well,
that's
they
right.
did until they died of liver poisoning.
Yes.
That's right.
Enjoy, everyone.
To be precise, a shot of tequila, that's what they decided. And I take it as a compliment, the fact they listen. Well, first of all, a very warm welcome to Kristen Lynch. And, you know, Kristen, I want to share a story that emphasized guardianship in the U.S., protection or exploitation. Ginger Franklin was just shy of her 50th birthday when she fell down the stairs in a Nashville area townhouse in 2008. She's a marketing representative for Sam's Club, and she was taken to the hospital with severe brain injury. Doctors weren't even sure if she was going to survive. And since then, Ms. Franklin had no designated anybody to make decisions for her. She became incapacitated with no immediate family. Her aunt was advised to petition the court for guardian. The guardian, a lawyer appointed by the county, placed her in a group home for seriously mentally ill adults. But Franklin was not mentally ill, and she did what no one expected her to do. She recovered. When she returned home from a rehabilitation center 7 weeks later, however, the guardian told her that she didn't have a home anymore and that her townhouse was completely empty, Franklin said. As a common in guardianship cases, the court granted permission for the guardian to sell Franklin's home and its contents as well. And it took her, after two long years, to get her legal rights back. She now lives independently in Nashville. And, you know, guardian issues are a growing concern here in the United States. As I pointed out at the beginning of the program, about 2 million people are under guardianship alone here in the United States. And it's not just people, obviously, from the story that, you know, have Alzheimer's as well.
Right. Well, first of all, let me just say thank you for having me back on the show. And I'm assuming that whole thing wasn't a question. No, I read the same case you read, and it was a miscarriage of the judicial system, to say the least. I mean, there's a lot of things that went wrong there.
Who was the attorney? I want names.
You want names and numbers.
Thankfully, they weren't here locally.
They were not locally.
No one I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there was a lot of things that could have been done better. I mean, first of all, let's talk about usually. In my world, if it reaches a point that you have to have a guardianship, most of the time it's because there's been a failure to plan, which means somebody didn't do their estate planning, somebody didn't do any of the simple forms that could normally prevent something like this, like a healthcare surrogate form,
right,
a living will, a power of attorney. And the courts in Florida are very particular that they do like to use what they call the least restrictive means possible, meaning that if somebody's gone to the trouble of doing some planning – and there are documents in place that would serve whatever purpose needs to be served for that time, then they will usually defer to those documents unless there's some really good reason why the documents either are not strong enough or maybe they're concerned about the person that has the power in the documents having some ulterior motives or something. So that's the first thing. It's a failure to plan. Now, can you plan around everything? No. And sometimes even in my world, when you've done the best estate plan in the world, you know, there's still a tremendous number of people, for example, in Florida with an aging population that suffer from Alzheimer's.
Right.
You know, I did a beautiful estate plan for somebody about 10 years ago who lived in Boca, wonderful lady, but there was a history of dementia in her family. And when she reached a certain age, her children had managed to keep her at home for a long time, but they reached a point where they needed to put her in an assisted living facility.
Very common.
And the problem is that her dementia got so bad that at about 10 o'clock at night in Boca, this woman was very cunning to some extent. She would put her little handbag on her arm and she would sneak out the door when she knew the staff was changing, when it was time for their shifts to end, and she'd walk right out and she would hitchhike back to her former house.
Wow.
Which is just terrifying.
And make it back the next morning to the assisted living?
No, the neighbors would call the kids, and then they would come get her because she didn't realize the house had been sold.
Oh.
But because of that, you know, you cannot keep someone against their will in the state of Florida unless they've been adjudicated or they're under some other kind of order to be, you know, to be held. So we actually did have to have her adjudicated, which we didn't really want to do, but we had to because they couldn't hold her in the, you know, not release section, I guess. They have a special lockdown. Because there's so many times you see these Alzheimer's patients that wander off and then they're lost.
What is the technical legal term that they use when they adjudicate somebody?
Well, it's an incapacity hearing. Now, the other thing that went wrong in this case, and it wasn't in other states, so I can't speak to what their laws are, but in Florida, whenever there's a question of incapacity for an adult, then there's an examining committee normally that's appointed, and you have to have three people that are appointed by the court that go out and they examine the person. And they're in various positions. Like you might have a social worker, you might have a psychologist, you might have a psychiatrist, or you might have a neurologist. They have forms they have to fill out. They have to submit these to the court. Now, most of the time, you know, one of the things that's going to be asked on there is, you know, what's the prognosis? Now, if the doctors had been doing their job that had examined this woman in this guardianship proceeding, I would have hoped they wouldn't have said that she was seriously mentally ill, because that wasn't the case. It was an injury.
Right. She was incapacitated.
Right.
From a brain trauma.
Right. And so normally, if there's a hope that the person's going to recover, the court is not going to make any kind of drastic decisions about selling their house or anything else unless, you know, there's some kind of dramatic financial situation going on, unless they have a better idea of what the long-term, you know, outlook is. And I have had cases where we had people that were off their meds for a period of time. And when they were put back on their meds and they were managed properly, I've actually been able to have people's capacity restored on occasion. So, I mean, I like to think that the system actually does more good than it does harm. But, you know, you do always have other issues you have to deal with.
There's always more to the story as well, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's nice to have you a little clip and she was in, but it rarely, I mean, sometimes it's just gross abuse, but it's rarely that wacky. I remember one time at a title company, we actually had an outstanding check for like $300,000 for like 3 years. We tried to find this person to cash their check because it's sitting in the trust account uncashed. And like 3.5 years later, someone comes in with the old check saying, I want to swap this out for a new check. And we're like, where have you been? And she was in a coma.
They didn't need the money.
She was in a coma for all that time, and no one realized. So all these crazy things in life, you know, weird situations do happen. They make good headlines, and maybe this was abuse. But I imagine most of the time when someone ends up in a guardianship situation, there's a big backstory to it, right?
Yeah, normally. And, I mean, what I would try to, you know, let everybody know out there is if you do your estate planning properly, there are ways that you can designate who you want to have be in charge of you if that ever happens. I mean, if you absolutely have to have a guardianship, there is such a thing as designation of a pre-need guardian. And you can actually choose two different people because the person that you may want to have take care of your physical needs or decide what nursing home you may or may not go to may not be the person you want to have managing your finances, which is the same thing for kids, I would mention as well. Like when people come to me and they always tell me they don't need to do estate planning, they don't have any assets, they just have kids. And I'm like, those are your biggest assets. And you really do need to plan. And just because you think relative A may be the best for them to live with, relative A may be a spendthrift and may not know anything about how to spend money. So I would look at an alternative as far as who manages the money, maybe. And then that way everybody's kept honest. Hopefully.
Good luck with that.
Does somebody have to take courses to be a guardian? I mean, is it regulated to the level that they have to be, like, certified?
Well, you don't have to be certified, but if you are, if you do apply to the court to become a guardian, they do require that you take a course in that, and you have to provide proof to the court that you actually completed it, and you have to be fingerprinted. And unfortunately or not, you cannot be a guardian if you've been a felon, convicted of a felony, which may seem like common sense. But, I mean, unfortunately, there are so many people with, you know, drug convictions and various other things that are not necessarily what I would call adverse to someone else. But once you have that on your record, you can't serve as a guardian for somebody.
Yeah, and again, that's not court appointed. This is somebody petitioning the court, like if it was for my mother or my brother.
Right. Well, right, exactly. You know, and if you don't have anyone in the family that's qualified, there are professional guardianship organizations out there. You do have to be careful with who you choose. Some are better than others, but, you know, the state is really cracking down on the qualifications and trying to regulate them a little bit better.
Chris, on the felony issue, just a follow-up, if the felony's 30 years ago, it's still going to disqualify the person from being a guardian?
Sadly, it doesn't matter. And I'd like to say that I've never seen this, but...
And this might be a question for Gary Ostro. If the record is expunged or sealed, does that have any effect on the qualifications? Or is that something you haven't had a chance to... come across or research?
I don't know. If it's expunged, I don't know.
Well, the problem with that is you can't expunge a conviction. You'd have to be pardoned or have your civil rights restored. So
yeah, that's
unfortunately, if you're a convicted felon, you're out. And I know that from experience with people that are applying for jobs and leases and business loans, and it haunts them for the rest of their lives, unjustifiably, I might add.
I mean, I'll tell you a sad story. I mean, one time I was hired to set up a guardianship for this woman who had been injured at a nursing home. She went in there for one thing, and somehow while she was in there for treatment, her kids were really dedicated. She had like five kids that lived around the corner from this nursing home. They'd go visit her like every single day. Somehow she fell on a bed. She snapped her neck. And then the next day they go in to see her. She's all black and blue and she's not responsive. And they're like, what happened? And they're like, oh, we don't know. And it turned out she broke her neck, but nobody wanted to own up to it. So there needed to be a guardian appointed to pursue a lawsuit because obviously this was very serious. And every single person in the family was willing and able to serve as a guardian, but by the time I went through, I think I got to the second cousins before I found somebody that didn't have a felony conviction of one kind or another. And the really sad thing was it wasn't like they were all in some kind of crime business. It was like all totally different, really unique situation. One was battery, one was something else.
Saying it was a disorganized crime family?
Yes. That's a good one. I like that, yeah.
His amazing ability to grasp the obvious.
That's awesome, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, that was great.
I got an award for that from somewhere.
But you do have to be so careful. But, you know, I do still think it's a better way to go, especially if you – a lot of times I'll recommend guardianship if you have a family where you've got kids that are feuding or that you know there's going to be a fight when mom or dad dies. But even if one of them can manage the finances but nobody trusts them, you know, the only way to get around that, I think if the court's doing their job and they can oversee it, then at least there's a record, there's an accounting, and they've got – they're accountable.
Wouldn't you just better off setting up a trust and avoiding the issue to begin with?
If you can.
Yeah.
But that –
and guardianship is almost kind of last resort because it's expensive. Yeah. It's a time-consuming, expensive procedure, isn't it?
Well, it can be. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, in an ideal world, everybody does set up a trust. I mean, I would love nothing better.
But, you know, yeah. I got to interrupt because we're going to have to take a quick break.
So rude.
I know. My mother raised me right, but she never thought I'd be on radio. You're listening to Legal News and Review, and we're speaking with Kristen Lynch, and this is regarding guardianship. Over 2 million Americans now are under guardianship, and it's growing. And when we come back, we're going to ask her, what steps can a family take or a person can take if they know an individual that is incapable of caring for him or herself? What are the steps and the procedures? We're going to be right back.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back on the air. I am Philip Bell, the moderator, and we're speaking with Kristen Lynch. And this has to do about guardianship, which is unfortunately growing exponentially as we get older. The baby boomers, of course, are going to be the first to really have great need of this. And when we left, I want to know, what steps can a person take if they know an individual that is incapable of caring for him or herself? Kristen?
I mean, are they already at, are you saying about somebody that's already at the point where they can't care for themselves?
Or it looks like they're going to.
They're heading in that direction.
Yes, Alzheimer's robs so many people.
Oh, sure. Well, until, I mean, the first thing I usually ask is, do you think the person has capacity or not? Because there's a, you know, there's a fine line, and, you know, it's not up to us as attorneys to necessarily assess whether somebody's got capacity or not. But, you know, even sometimes if you're not technically capacitated, you can have, you know, moments of clarity or whatever. And, you know, if they're still able to do some planning, I would encourage to go that route. I mean, careful not to do any undue influence type of thing. But, you know, if it's a situation where maybe all the family's in agreement, look, mom needs to do something, you know, we need to take care of this, you know, maybe if there's no conflicts, which is a rare case, of course, according to some of my cynical co-hosts here.
No, I actually disagree. I think that most times families actually get along.
Yeah, I like to think that. Experience. It doesn't usually. There's usually someone that's going to cause a problem. But if you can get them all on the same side, which are the cases I like the best, then you try to sit everybody down, see if you can do some planning. If you can get a doctor to say that they have enough, that they're not incapacitated yet, and they're capable of doing some planning, then get a copy of the doctor's letter, do the planning. You know, and as long as it's not some kind of radical switch from anything they've done in the past, everybody's happy. Especially if you can get the medical. I think that sometimes the medical is the most important because that'll avoid them actually having to be, you know, forced into something they don't want. Now, it's still possible that you may still need to have a guardian of the property if they have a lot of property.
But you don't need a guardianship in most situations when you have family members or even non-family members right. that can get appointed privately without court intervention to a fiduciary capacity. They can appoint someone as their power of attorney, if you will, as their agent. They can get someone appointed to make medical decisions through them through a simple, you know, health surrogate form.
Right.
A court I mean, I want to be clear for our listeners, a court-monitored guardianship is a rarity you know, compared to the numbers of just, hey, I got a power of attorney for mom, mm-hmm. I can sign for her checkbook, which is how it works for most people.
I, on the other hand, have seen nightmares when families get involved and there's money, any amount of money, especially large amounts of money and assets. I've seen nightmares. My experience has been horrible. So
yeah,
I understand.
And then you throw a judge, several lawyers, and three accountants in the mix.
Well,
no, but
it's not as bad as having a greedy sibling who's looking to take everything when the will divides it equally.
You get a couple.
So it can be just as bad without, and that's why the guidance is necessary.
The problems I run into sometimes, just on a practical basis. First of all, as much as what there's supposed to be some rule out there now that everybody respects the power of attorney, they don't.
Right.
Okay, because they'll always say, oh, you didn't, well, it doesn't specify this account, or it doesn't specifically name this branch of the bank,
right.
And then they'll try to refuse honoring it, which is a whole nightmare unto itself, okay? And that's assuming you've got somebody with good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I also find a lot of problems are when you have people that are what I would call – dare I say, control freaks. You know, usually it's sole proprietors, business owners, entrepreneurs, the people that we love to represent, but they don't want to admit that they have a mortality at some point. And they want to hold on to that last little bit of control until they're, you know, in the grave almost.
Take it with them.
Yeah. And, you know, so one of the most recent nightmares I have is I did this really elaborate estate plan for this particular client who's been a client of mine for like 10 years. His wife kept telling him, you've got property overseas, you need to deal with it. He wouldn't deal with it, he wouldn't deal with it, he wouldn't deal with it. Finally got him to sign his final version of his trust that finally took into account almost everything except his closely held business. And I said, you know, you're not going to be able to cover this with a power of attorney because most places aren't going to just recognize somebody walking in saying, I'm taking over the business, here's my power of attorney. You know, it doesn't work that way. I said, you need to put your son on as a officer of the company and put some succession planning in your documents. Do you think he did that? No, he did not. And then, surprisingly, he had a stroke. And we ended up having to try to have him adjudicated because of the fact that because the business interests that he had were also overseas.
Did the stroke disable him, his mental faculties, or not? I mean, that's a legitimate
interesting
issue.
The examining committee completely said he was not capacitated. But the only two things we can tell that he lost is the ability to speak and the ability to write. So he has trouble communicating, which may be a good crime novel one day. I don't know. We have a bet on this. But anyway, he does a lot of business overseas in a company in a foreign country I will not name, but we spoke with foreign counsel over there and they told us that the accounts, the banks over there, nobody's going to recognize anything without a court order from
Gary
over here.
Gary Singer wants to know the country. He needs to know the name.
I don't need to know the country.
No,
I know what country it is.
He wants the name of the country.
I can't divulge that right now.
Really?
But yeah, no, it would be, it's too close to the heart at the moment.
But
the point is, you know, so that was something. We did all this planning, and even with the best laid of plans, once in a while, you have a need to go to court because you have to get, you know, a court order for something like that. So,
realistic for our listeners, I mean, guardianship with, you know, except for the cases are really bad or lack of family members, can be avoided with proper planning.
Well,
at a much better, keeping more money in the family.
You're giving two people too much credit in the families, I think.
I practice in this area.
I have one other quick example. I had a doctor who, by all other accounts, was okay, had capacity. But he kept sending money on those green dot cards over to Jamaica because he had been told he had won the lottery. And, I mean, he kept sending money after money after money to the point that he would get up from the dinner table and run to Walgreens to go send money. Now, his one daughter, who was an attorney in another state, doesn't do this kind of law, but she goes, well, can't we handle that with a power of attorney? And I said, well, that sounds all well and good, but last time I checked, power of attorney allows you to do things for them, not take their money away from them.
Right.
And that's definitely one of the cases where it would come in handy. So let me ask you, Kristen, if someone had more questions, how would they get a hold of you?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me. I do free consultations most of the time. You can call me at the office, which is upstairs, of course, but it's 954-880-9500, and just ask for me.
Do you have a website?
We do. It's www.lubellrosen.com.
All right, perfect. Well, the tell you, this is a great subject matter because it's so, can be so controversial and is good arguments made either way. But I want to thank you for coming on. And, of course, I want to thank our moderator, Phil Bell, and our co-host, Gary and Michael, the Tooch. Most importantly, I want to thank our listeners. Thanks for listening. And check us out at BeLegalBuzz.com. And, of course, folks, be safe and
Be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.